Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get the news from?
Together you got the smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-word. Tonight, got a little something extra special for you. Got my homegirl, Dominatrix, Miss Raven here to show y'all how to get your ass beat. Nah, I'm just playing. But I have Dominatrix, Miss Raven, gonna be coming on a little bit later on today. So if you want to holler at her and holler at me, hey, give me a holler. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. And if you, you want to holler at me as far as social media goes, you can go to the Facebook Smooth Drama page, and I got you there also. Just request to join the Facebook page, Smooth Drama. We'll let you in here, Mr. J. We got you. And just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, you add me, I add you back. I ain't afraid to talk to you. Also, feel free to jump up in the chat room. You know? It's here for you. I like to hear from y'all. Y'all make me feel good when you get up in there and holler at a brother. In the meantime, man. Whew. Countdown to OJ. Yeah, I told you I'm gonna be on this countdown here. OJ got the what you call him going, and he's got his hearing going. And we're going 10 days till OJ. Y'all ready? I'm like ready, cause I want to see if they're going to live stream that or something. I got to see it. I know. It's cold and cruel, right, that I'd be talking about OJ, but what kind of dude would I be if I wasn't trying to see the OJ thing go down? But that's just me. I'm built like that. In the meantime, in between time, I don't know if y'all saw it, Kendall and the Kylie Jenner of the Kardashian family, the youngest of them people, they came out with their clothing line. It was supposedly they had rappers rock, and apparently they had a Tupac vs. Biggie shirt where they had KK on top of the faces. And, of course, Tupac's mother is gone, so their estate didn't really make any statements. But Biggie's mother was like, nah, they ain't talked to us about it. I don't know why they think they can do some stuff like that. Hello. In the meantime, in between times, people were upset. And, I always wonder why folks even give a damn about the Kardashians. And this ain't hating on them, because, I mean, God bless them. If y'all want to watch them and put money in their pocket for having no talent. But I say to the sisters out here, and I ask you, sisters, seriously, they're famous basically for fucking black men. That's it. They have no other skills. They don't sing, they don't dance, they don't rap, none of that shit. They ain't Kardashian is in a bathing suit. I mean, you know, they have reality shows. I mean, and y'all watch them just to whatever. I don't know. I don't know why, but people watch that. But I'm like, they're getting paid for fucking black men. That's it. And as I've chronicled on my show quite a few times, all they've done is fuck up the lives of the black men that they got with, right? So, you know, the question is, all right, sisters, where y'all at? I mean, can we get y'all out? Can y'all get on y'all game? I mean, because if you can be famous, I mean, because Superhead did it. She got famous by, I mean, because if you was going, I'm not saying prostitute yourself. So you know, I'm not saying prostitute yourself. I'm just saying that if you're gonna suck dick, you're gonna have sex anyway. Get famous doing it. Don't let them, the black men, and yeah, I know a lot of the brothers they ain't feeling you, sister. But see, I just think that, you know, the universe, y'all got to put it in. I mean, because I'm looking at Kim Kardashian, the Khloe, the Frankenstein Kardashian, and the Kylie. And I'm like looking at them like, what they got? Yeah, they're light skinned. You know, they're basically not black. And we know that part of that is the problem. But I'm just saying, there's what they bring to the table. And then there's the original. And y'all are the OG original. And last time I checked, the original is way stronger. And for those people who are watching me on my live stream of, you know, Smooth Drama, I'm in the Bay Area. Holla. Yeah, you're the original. They are the fakes. They're trying to be like you. Not vice versa. You shouldn't even try to be like, you're going to be like the hell imitation. They trying to be like you. They trying to look like you. As I've said before, they're dying to look like, they're literally dying to look like you. And if they're not dying, they're doing like the German woman, Martina Adams, who underwent a medical treatment to chemically enhance her skin from white to a very deep brown, looking crazy as hell. When I say crazy as hell, looking crazy as hell. Hey, you know, she had the breast job. She's now claiming to be black, and She has a Facebook, and on her Facebook page, she goes by Martina Big. And, you know, she started this off, and she said, "My transformation to a black woman continues. I already bought me beautiful, long, black, natural hair with Afro curls. Soon, I let my blonde hair color change into black and get African curls in my hair. Then comes the hair extensions with African natural hair. After that, I have an appointment with my surgeon." Meaning, she's gonna do the Nicki Minaj and get the extra booty. You know, put the fixer flat in so that it's like poking out there like you already have. She's trying to get yours. Pretty much. So, she can be famous too. And, you know, she says that she's a transracial, and is now even coming out saying, "Hey, I'm a victim of racial profiling while traveling. I'm a black girl with black hair, so I have to change very soon my passport." Think about that for a second. Now, I mean, we know it's hard out here to be black. But even though it's hard as out here to be the black man, black woman. Martinez Adam, a.k.a. Martina Big, is dying to look just like you. Think about that just for a second. She's dying to look just like you. Now, I mean, as we know it, and you know, it's one of the things I don't hate, you know, I've always wondered why sisters get blonde hair, and they do these things, these unnatural looks, to make them look like Caucasian women. I've never understood it. I mean, it's like the black don't crack. Your ass could be 45 looking 28 if you live right. So I'm like, why would you want to downgrade? It's just logic. Global warming ain't your issue. You're good. You got this. None of that stuff is your issue. Getting old with style and pizzazz, not your issue. If you're living right, if you're cool with what your natural gifts are, your shit look good. You look good. Stay there. Stay in your lane. Don't be doing that other stuff. Speaking of that other stuff, it's the segment I get to do one of my favorite things, my dumb ass of the week. All right, what is my dumb ass of the week? Man, I couldn't believe it. A Minnesota couple. Just not smart at all. They were doing a YouTube stunt. So a Minnesota woman fatally shoots her boyfriend. Now, how did this go about? I mean, and it was I couldn't believe it when I saw it. Apparently, this dude shot a book. And the bullet didn't go all the way through. So he said, hey, it didn't go all the way through. So guess what? We're going to do this on YouTube where I'm going to put the book in front of my chest. And you're going to shoot it. And so, yeah, that's what happened. Mona Lisa Perez, 19, she was charged Wednesday in the shooting death of her boyfriend, Pedro Ruiz. All this just to be famous. So he puts the book right here, like, hey, shoot me! Shoot me! And she shot his ass. And he dies. And I'll quote them. Me and Pedro are probably going to shoot one of the most dangerous videos ever. His idea, not mine, at Mona Lisa Perez 5, she said in the tweet. Unfortunately, the bullet went right through the book and into his chest, killing him before he can get treatment. Yeah. You're not a smart individual, right? I mean, it's like that old commercial back in the 80s, just saying no to drugs, this is your brain. And this is your brain on drugs with crack egg cooking. And I ain't trying to besmirch the dead or whatnot, whatever you want to call it. But the fact that you're like, yeah, if you thought it was a good idea to shoot yourself or have somebody shoot you holding the book, it's like, yeah, I got my book here. Yeah, shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. We're going to do this live. Yeah. Feel sorry for the family, the Ruiz family. Sucks. But there's a reason why they have that disclaimer. Kids, don't try this at home. That is it. And so, to Mona Lisa Perez and Pedro Ruiz, rest in peace, dumbass of the week. And your dumbassery got you killed now. And on that note, before we get to our guest for the night, gonna go on break. And gonna bust out with some oak. Since we in the Bay Area, you know, I've been talking about that hip-hop, we gonna do some open. This is Charity Clay, Hansberry Lake.
The whole world is rich. You go to Africa, it's rare. You go into the Islamic world where they hate Western culture, the young may be hiding it under the bed somewhere, but they're listening to rap artists. So to me,
I used to wanna rock the mic, right? Let's see, right? Say the salt and pepper nice, but my mic sounds right. I used to write to the beat, rock the mic, five tracks. Other people kept the rhymes organized in my crop top, being in my pocket. Old school, kick, staying in my walking. Recognize the samples from the soul joints, played in the days I was crawling until the boom back. I was raised in the walkies. Up to the back, went over Ross, stop. On that DLC pit, took the kind of pie, catch top. Extra round steam steady in the great freestyle to the beach, boogie down to the bricks, whether you in the blunt or the humpy hump, or a compression, my knock off, me by part. Just be learning in the culture that the people call the gimmick. A trendy epidemic, we'll be done with in a minute. But like blazes in the sun, set to shade. Descendants of the slave, I'm overweight. So every day I wake up and I pray that the ancestors let me stay. Young, gifted, and black. I'm hoping that this music that we play. It's gonna be the two leads today. So generations later on commission and know that they are. My generation is the ripe and the fruit. Before the peace, we the people on the Bible to truth. Horse carrying the seed that was alive in the youth. And then return the dirt to strengthen up the watch in the rut. That's been going since the 60s. Sprouts germinated during great migrations at the time of the century. Strange fruit farms, rotten and ready bodies hanging from the branches of the soil on side. Tried to our souls by the words of the authors. Spread through the songs that were heard from the marches. Bones from the juke, plus the gospel in the church. Made the music for the movement that was more than lip service. Inspiration for the living, the mourning for the murder made its way through the airwaves and everybody heard it. Tribulations who tried to crush it pushed it underneath the surface. It bubbled underground in the 80s, it erupted. The fashion and the function, the flashing and the stunting, and the taking what they said we couldn't have but always wanted. It was nothing too abundant. The style that we come up with, the voice of revolution ain't speaking, it's consumption. The window to a world everybody needs to peek in. The mirror of ourselves and the condition that we be in. Like those slaves. And we're making messages of freedom backspread and cross-fading so we could receive them. Like raises in the sun, set to shade. Descendants of the slave are made away. So every day I wake up and I pray that the ancestors let me stay. Young, gifted, and black. I'm hoping that this music that we play is gonna be the two leads today. So generations later will condition me and know that they are young, gifted, and black.
Some of the very eloquent things that were said before about the basic fabric of our society, which, after all, is the thing which must be changed, you know, to really solve problems, you know, the basic organization of American society is the thing that has Negroes in the situation that they are in, and never let us lose sight of that.
Together you got the drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was Charity Clay, Hansberry Legacy. And 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Without further ado, I think my esteemed guest, Miss Raven Dominatrix, is on the scene. So let me get her in. Hey, Miss Raven, welcome to the show. How are we doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for coming
on
the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Welcome. So you're a dominatrix. So I mean, what is it like a professional, or is it like, as they call it, the sexual designation? What is your dominatrix?
They call it a sexual designation. That's funny.
Yeah.
Nope, definitely professional. But I can't lie. Like it kind of has now rolled slightly into my lifestyle. But I wouldn't necessarily say it's a destination or anything. But yeah, professionally, yes, professional
okay.
dominatrix.
So let me ask you this: What made you want to be a dominatrix? That question.
It's really just something that kind of like fell into my lap, and it fell into my lap actually like years ago, maybe like nine years ago.
Fell into your lap. I mean, I've had some things fall in my lap, but I've never had like dominatrix designation fall into my lap. Like, yeah.
Well, you know. Like I said before, like 9 years ago, I can't even remember how I met this woman, but I met a woman who had a dungeon, and that's what they call their, you know, call the places where they do these you know, dominatrix sessions. And
right.
She was looking for more mistresses to train, new mistresses to train for her establishment, and... no lie, when I went my first time to her orientation, because she was, like, totally all set up and everything, I kind of laughed a little bit and didn't take it so serious and kind of left it alone. And then I got into some other work, some escorting work, and it kind of came up again. But this time I was a little bit older and... had more of a open mind about, you know, not only just my sexuality, but also a curious mind about other people's sexuality, in particular, like fetishes and things, because when you go into those type of crafts, it's totally different, and people really are into it. Like, they're totally into it. So I was very curious.
Okay.
And I met someone else that was able to train me, and I took a liking to it.
So what is the training, and then what are your tools of choice?
Training wise, like I want to say, like anybody, not anyone, but mainly any woman or. Male dom that just has more of a dominant presence or confidence about themselves, they can get into it. But the training, like when I really got into it, the training was way more serious than I thought. There are like special, you know, terms you want to use, and you know, you kind of have to do a little bit of homework as far as what people are into and how to cater to that. And still be dominant, and
okay.
You know, it just it varies in different ways with the training, but it definitely is. I want to say more self-discipline over anything, because sometimes you get submissive that, you know, they may be into things that you're totally never been into, or you never tried, or you've never kind of mastered in. You kind of have to be, like I said, more disciplined in it. Tools, though. Tools also was in the training.
Right. So what are some of the, you want to say, the weirdest things you've been asked to do?
I mean, this is basic. This is definitely basic, but for me, it's still kind of, I don't consider it to be weird, but it's still kind of different. Doing brown in golden showers. And golden showers, of course, people know that that's affiliated with urine, and browns are affiliated with feces.
Browns? What is browns?
Browns are their feces. They're, you know, I don't know if we're, like, censored here on the show, but You know,
we ain't got no censor. So
it's sick. You know, people are into the consumption of both.
Did you say consumption?
Yes, consumption of both.
All right.
So I think that's the only, and I'm gonna be honest, like, I've had all types of session requests, but those two things are still the most odd to me, or still the most like different to me. But you know, same time though, it's interesting though. Even at the same time, when it seems odd, like when you're like a part of it, it's interesting because, like I said before, this submissive or this slave is like, this is something that they really want, and it may not be something that, you know, you would definitely want, but, you know, they're totally into it. So for me, it's interesting, like, just to see how they desire certain things, in particular consumption of that.
I got a question where someone asked, can someone learn without actually becoming one? Personal use.
Yeah, most times, you know, women or men, because a dominant can be a woman or a man. It's like, to me, I feel like it's something they already possess. Like, you already have a dominance to you, you know what I mean? And it doesn't have to be overbearing or apparent, you know. Like, you don't have to be, like, a really dominant person in your everyday life, but you just may have a dominant kind of wicked side to you a little bit. You know, you like to tell people what to do. You like to give commands. You like to be served. You feel as though that you're entitled to it in those type of play sessions. You know what I mean?
So you feel good, obviously. Because you do it, you're a professional. But when you're into it, I mean, is it like a real turn on when you're like, you got them going and, you know, you're like totally into it?
Have you ever heard that phrase, a power exchange?
I know what the power exchange is, but not the
actual place, but I mean the actual term of a power exchange. It feels like, how do I say it? It feels like roles are reversed for me. Roles are reversed because normally men are supposed to, are looked at to be more dominant in those, like, you know, behind closed doors situations. But like I said before, like I'm a dominant person on the inside, so it just feels right. Like, it feels like I'm supposed to be, you know, giving this guidance to the submissive, and he's supposed to serve me. It just all feels right. And within that being said, I don't feel like it's initially a turn on. For me, it's more like a, like I don't know, I don't want to identify with a high, but kind of like a high, you know?
Okay. So I have another question. So how many submissive slaves do you have?
Do I have? Or
yeah.
Have I had?
Well, I mean, it's all relative, just in the ballpark. Not that you count, but I mean, is it?
Not really, not counting. I want to say maybe like 50, if without counting, and it may be more. This is just like I'm just giving you a flat number.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, is it a profitable enterprise?
Yes, but it takes time and it takes patience, and just like anything else, any other type of relationship or partnership, like there's, I don't want to say like a give and take, but there has to be like some type of connection there, you know, some type of bond there, some type of feeling of acceptance and comfortability on both parts. Because just because I'm a mistress or I'm a dominatrix, you know, I can tell them that you're gonna be my slave all day long, but this is in play session, you know, in play mode. When they get back to reality and they think about it or whatever, they can totally choose to pick another person. Now, can they come back? Would I allow them to come back? That's something different. But you definitely have to have a strong connection on both ends.
Okay. right. What do you enjoy doing? I mean, do you use the whips? Do you like have them in the little stands, whatnot, and they standing up and you're doing whatever you do with them? I mean, what is your go to thing? I mean, I know it varies from person to person.
It varies, but I want to say like my top 2 to 3. Sessions that I really like to have. Tease and Denial is one, because I just love when they beg. Also, I love to turn them down too. What else? There are some that like they like to be smacked around. I've had some of those sessions though. Can get a little out of control, but if it's just mild things like open hand slapping, I love to use like a flogger, which is not technically like a whip, but it's like a whip with like many tails on it.
Well, I know you said out of control. What would constitute out of control? Because I know I've heard they say you got the safe words and all that, but what would you?
Well, you got safe words and everything. But I want to say out of control, and meaning, like, I've had requests, like, people want you to, like, knock them out. You know, you're like, oh, I can't. I, that's where I draw the line. Like, it's one thing, like I said, to do, like, the open hand slapping, the paddling, the whipping. It's a whole other thing, close fist, and definitely anything that's going to, like, leave marks, bruises, you know. Or you have to seek medical attention. I've had requests like that, and that's when I think it goes way too far, because I'm totally not into going to jail nor sending anyone to the hospital, you know.
Yeah, I can see how that goes. So how long is a session on average?
On average, about an hour. I want to say 2 hours, because most people like to play for a long time. But, I mean, if it had to come down to anything, it'd be an hour. You know, because the rates are, you know, they vary, but it still can be very expensive, even just for that 1 hour.
Okay. So as far as the rates go, so what is your normal, I mean, how much does a session cost?
It depends. It really all depends on what we're doing. If it's something super mild, it could be as low as $300 an hour, up to more, you know, depending on what they want. Like if we're doing something involving, consumption, it's probably going to be an additional $75 on top of their hour.
Hmm. Okay, so is it an actual sex exchange? Is intercourse involved at all?
It's not involved. It's not allowed, period. Not involved, not allowed. If someone even thinks that they're going to go that far or any farther than I tell them that they are allowed to go, it's over immediately. Like, right then and there, get your stuff, go.
Okay, so what are your, I mean, you ever had any safety issues, or do you have to have somebody on call, like,
bodyguard
there?
Normally, it depends. Like, I've worked independently, and even when I work independently, I always have someone on standby. But I've also worked in dungeon houses where there's always someone there. You know, whether it's, like, you know, 2 to 3 girls or whatever.
All right, so, I know obviously you enjoy it, but describe to us a scene in the dungeon. I mean, is it like a dark dungeon, you got them tied up? I mean, because I don't know. I may be one of the 5 people in America who has 50 Shades of Grey, so you have to break me down with that one.
The dungeon... It really depends, because I've seen some really kind of scary dungeons, and I've seen some more dungeons with more of a seductive feel to them. But usually they're, you know, they're dimmed light if need be. Maybe a candlelight or something. You know, usually there's tons and tons of different types of toys and things to interact with. But it goes according to what type of session you're doing, because you may be doing like a wrestling session or something, and you need all lights on. You know what I mean? You can't necessarily just go out, you know, have dim lights. It just really just depends on what type of session you're doing. But the dungeons are, I don't know, I think they're really cool, and I feel like anybody that's they're open about their sexuality will have fun in that environment once you see how many different things there are to use.
Well, you said scary. I mean, because as dominatrix, I mean, what is scary to you? I mean, because this sounds scary to me. So when you say you got scared, I was like, well damn, you got me scared. What is scary to you?
I think what's scary to me is dungeons that have too much medical equipment inside, because you know that it even gets deeper as in people who like to get pierced and all that type of crazy stuff. So those are the scary environments for me. Like, I've been somewhere where it looked like a straight doctor's room, like a woman going to the OBGYN. You put your feet up on the holsters and lay back and all this type of stuff, and they do like blood play, and when it gets into that, I'm totally like, I'm hands off.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, well, you had me at the Browns. I was like, and people like me is like,
yeah, and it's serious. They're serious about it, you know. And it's not, and it's funny because it's not always the easiest thing to do. Like, it kind of like really took me a while to even be able to perform that service, because once you get in that situation, you know, it's like it's crazy. You're like, am I really about to do this? This does not feel normal. But you know, if someone's like, oh, you know, they're gonna pay you, you know, big amounts, you're like, you gotta suck it up. You're like, what do I have to do? Like, drink milk of magnesia, laxative, what's going on?
Okay.
I love it though. Like, I'm a young lady who has a little bit of a wicked side to me on the inside anyway. So, you know, just, I mean, a little bit of torture and a little bit of this and that on someone else, it doesn't bother me.
All right. Well, because my blackness can't allow me to get beat on purpose. So let me ask you this. What do you plan to do? I mean, you know, as far as, do you plan on, like, eventually opening up your own dungeon, being the dominatrix entrepreneur and be that trainer going forward?
Yeah, going forward, I do want to have my own dungeon setting and run my own kind of maybe dungeon house, or just a private dungeon setting for myself and my clients. Yeah, I do. It's something that you, like, even when you stray away from it, once you're into it, you're going to want to go back to that. Like, you know, you're going to, like, once you spark that flame, it's on for the rest of your life. Any woman that's, any dom that says she just got out of it and never looked back, I don't believe her.
All right. So if you have preference, do you prefer men or women, or you just don't care?
You know, I prefer men. I'm not, and no offense or anything, I'm not really into the whole being a mistress to a woman. That's just not my thing. I generally really like overpowering men.
Okay. All right. So, I guess the question would be, so if somebody wanted to actually in touch with you and they wanted to use your services, how would they get in contact with you? Where could they find you?
They can find me on Instagram. All they have to do is type in Miss Raven, MISS, and the Raven is all in caps. They can even look online on Instagram for Raven L.Lee, spelled LIEGH.
Okay. Okay.
Also, FetLife. FetLife is a community for BDSM, dom, submissives, and they switches. And a switch is someone that's both, that can play the role of a dom or a submissive.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on.
I know. Thanks for having me.
And it gets
deeper. Like, you know, I encourage everyone to kind of read up on it as well and do their own little homework, because everybody has a side that they're either a submissive or they're a dom. And I feel like anybody, whether it's professionally or just a lifestyle or just for fun sometimes, should channel that. You'd be surprised how embracive it feels to your whole being. I'm telling you, it's a high in itself, whichever role you play.
All right, well, I mean, I would say that, you know, hopefully we can get you to come back on and we can talk about this again.
I hope so, too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. And you take care and you have a good night. And hopefully you don't need no Malcolm Magnesia tonight.
Hopefully not. Thank you. You be well.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Right. All right. That was Miss Raven. You're trying to make it happen. You're trying to be dominated. I'll let you, girl. Miss Raven. MISSRAVE. Coming to an ass woman near you. Wow. On that note, I need a damn break. Woo! Yeah. This is and once again, it's Oakland. We since we in the Bay Area, we just don't go all Oakland today. This is Cheyenne G. Everything else.
Smooth drummer.
anything else. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, real quick, got to get into the Hater of the Week. Y'all know how it goes.
Hate.
I hate you. Who's the Hater of the Week? Everybody who fucked with Emmett Till's marker. If you don't know who Emmett Till is, Emmett Till is the 14-year-old who was lynched in Mississippi. His mother, Mammy Till Mobley, insisted that her son's casket remain open during his funeral so that the brutality of his death could be seen. Of course, it was published all over the place. And he was lynched because he allegedly whistled at a 21-year-old white woman named Carol Bryant, an allegation Bryant admitted to be false earlier this year. You know, Bryant's husband Roy and his half-brother, J.W. Miller, were acquitted by an all-white jury in the lynching. The two later confessed that they committed the crime. Yeah. So she lied. They did it. Was found not guilty. And, you know, they said, yeah, we did. No big. Anyway, there's a marker. It's part of it's a sign that was erected by the state's tourism officials in 2011. And it's part of Mississippi's Freedom Trail marker, where it's a series of markers that are located at significant civil rights sites. And so it's located outside of Bryant's former grocery and meat market, which is where Till's accuser worked and claimed the incident occurred. And so there are some teens who vandalized that. Yeah, they vandalized that shit. Like, yeah, that don't, you know, it's not important. You know, so for them, I know some of y'all don't like it, but yes, I wish cancer of the balls on them. I hope that there's, and maybe it's not cancer. Maybe they're just walking down the street and somebody's playing baseball and they hit a line drive and hits them at the balls. That's, you know, we say that's a trade-off. That's a fair trade-off. I mean, because it's like, why would you deface Emmett Till's marker? You know, a young man, a 14-year-old, who didn't get to live life, he was murdered because of a bald-faced lie. But, see, you got these hate-ass haters who would do that. And, you know, but it's like Groundhog Day. But, you know, of course, that takes us into the next segment, Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no!
So, what is that shit that happened again? Well, if you hadn't heard, Jordan Edwards, 15 years old, killed by the Dallas police. Well, there was a report, according to a new report, there were no drugs or alcohol found at the party where Jordan Edwards was shot and killed by the Dallas police. You know, April 29th, police responded to reports that teens at the party were drinking. And so while Edwards and others were trying to leave the party, Officer Roy Oliver, punk-ass bastard, who deserves cancer of the balls also, and in the ass, and anywhere else, cancer can be very painful. Anyway, he shot into the car, hitting and killing Edwards. Edwards' two brothers were in the car as well, and they were taken into custody by police after the shooting. Of course, they were black and unarmed. And according to the report, there were no drugs or alcohol. So what does that mean? As we know in Groundhog Day, true form, because the evidence says the officer had no probable cause to kill the young man, that means he's going to get off. Because the evidence means nothing in this case. The evidence never means anything in these cases. I mean, because we've seen the videos, and I mean, this is an open and shut case right here, right? You know, somebody says, hey, they're partying and drinking, they're doing all kinds of stuff. That's wrong. Police show up. Kids are trying to leave, and they're like, man, I'm trying to get in trouble. And they get shot and killed for their trouble. Unarmed, committed no crime, and there are no drugs or alcohol found at the party. So, yeah. Another thing, you know, that as we say, we compile the things that black people cannot do. You can't have a party with drugs and alcohol and not expect to be shot. And you can't have a party with no drugs and alcohol and not expect to be shot by the police. Because, you know, how dare you party and not get high? That's just another thing that's added to the list of things that black men can't do. I mean, because, you know, because if you're innocent of no crimes, you're unarmed, you messed up. Gotta be a criminal. The only way to survive these things, it appears, is to be a straight-out criminal, ready to shoot it out with the police. They will let you surrender. But if you're unarmed and you're a regular citizen, you're going to die. That's the expectation that we kind of have now. Groundhog Day. Not safe no matter what you, well, I won't say no matter what you do. I'm just saying that, hey, if you're at a party and there's no drugs or alcohol found at the party, you can get shot. Yeah. Conversely, you have another Groundhog Day situation. Top Vatican Cardinal charged with sex crimes. Oh, Cardinal George Pell, who is Pope Francis, who is the current Pope, you know, that Pope that everybody's like, oh yeah, he's progressive, he's a great guy, he's Pope Francis' chief financial advisor and Australia's most senior Catholic. And, you know, he's the highest ranking Vatican official to ever be charged in the church's long running sexual abuse scandal. Because when we talk about Groundhog Day, we talk about young 15-year-old, no crime, no alcohol, no drugs, get killed. Cardinal George Pell is in a long line, long-running sexual abuse. I mean, it's one of those things, like I said, we have that expectation where you're not safe at all, no matter what the hell you do as a young black man. If you want to get away with some crime and some dirty stuff, shit, you just, all you got to do is become a Catholic. He's to appear in Australian court to face multiple charges of historic sexual offenses, meaning offenses that generally occurred a long time ago. Victorian State Police Deputy Commissioner Shane Patton said that there are multiple complaints against Pell. Gave no other details on the allegations against the Cardinals, but you just know that there are multiple allegations, and he's ordered to appear in Melbourne Magistrates Court on July 18th. He, of course, has repeatedly denied all abuse allegations made against him. And, of course, the Catholic Church in Australia did not respond to a request for comment on the charges. Yep. So, yeah. Catholic priest and abuse of boys, young boys. Never heard that before. I didn't think that that kind of stuff happened. Right? I mean, it's like, you're talking about Groundhog Day, something that happened day after day after day. It's rare, right, that you hear that a Catholic priest has sexually abused a young man. Really rare. Because conversely, young black man, unarmed, committing no crime, shot and killed. Vatican priest molest young boys. Didn't get shot. You know, didn't get charged. He kind of, sort of, gets to show up, get his affairs in order. He's not in jail, mind you. He's not in jail. He's at the church, you know, trying to avoid those temptations. You know, I mean, because I guess that's what it is. Those things, they're equal, but they're not equal. Speaking of something that's equal and not equal, Google is launching an effort to remove terrorist and extremist content from YouTube. Now, you know, when we think of extremist videos, you know, they say terrorists, and we always go to Islamic State and Islamic State recruits, and that's what they say are terrorists. But, I mean, here in America, I never run across that stuff. And, you know, the only terrorists I know is KKK. Now, are they, I mean, there's a tab in the Huffington Post for white supremacists. They have a tab. Now, when we talk about removing terrorist content, I mean, should they have a tab? They serve no positive force. I mean, the whole, oh yeah, well, we're about the white race, and that's fine, except for their whole thing is killing us. They're not being removed, though. Now, is it racist on my part to point that shit out? Like, you know, their whole thing is killing black people. So should I give them any credit? Should they get any shine? Should they have a cast? Should we remove them? And like anything you put up that says white supremacy, shouldn't it like kind of like restricted site? It's not, but it should be, right? I mean, at least I think so, but I'm just a dude who likes to think that I'm trying to make some sense on the airwaves every now and again. But I'm guessing that if we didn't have a white supremacist ideology anywhere on the internet, whatnot, the world would probably be a better place. Just a thought. And on that note, I want to thank Ms. Raven for coming on. Interesting stuff. I am Mr. F the N-Word, and this was another Smooth Drum production. And I'm out. Deuces.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Together you got smooth drummer.